Hello, everyone, and welcome to not only another day, but another Big News Wednesday at the Damage Report with me, John Arola, and JR Jackson. JR.
Yo, what's up? Big News Wednesdays. Hey, we have a lot of stuff going on. Of course, the January 6th committee stuff yesterday and all those a-holes that decided to respond to that. And more importantly, John, I've decided to take my nutrition breakfast level to another level. I've got cheesecake brownie bites. They're amazing. They're amazing. Check them out. It's part of a well balanced breakfast.
Well, I guess it's balanced between cheesecake and brownie at least. So two things: one, those look amazing, and two, I don't think you're gonna make it through the show. That is too much at this point. But anyway, thank you for being here, JR. Today is Big News Wednesday. What was Tuesday last? Wasn't there something? It was like Trending News Tuesday. I don't remember. Someone in the audience came up with something. We're gonna have to remember what that was. Maybe it was Thursday. Anyway, it's spilling over to the surrounding days, and that is true.
Tuesday was, John. I'm sorry. Tuesday was JR solo on the Damage Report Tuesdays, but maybe not.
That's true.
And then make him have a heart attack.
Okay, so JR is going to be filling in as lead host. Next Tuesday, JR, next Tuesday. He woke up yesterday like, oh God, what are we gonna do? We don't have a co-host. We're like, no, sorry, it's miscommunication. It's next week, next week.
All I'm gonna say is I love all of your producers, John. They're amazing human beings and I wouldn't want anyone
they
else
are. On the show. They would have gotten you through. Let me ask you a quick question before we get into everything. If you had to, not only you're hosting it, but like the co-host dropped out at the last minute, level 1 to 10 anxiety you would be experiencing.
Well, we're gonna the story we're gonna start with today is probably the best comparison I can come up with. I would withdraw from all team events, and I would also withdraw from all individual events just to make sure that I take care of myself.
I don't like where your humor is going, sir. And we will be talking about that very soon. Oh, it was Tuesday Newsday. That's what it was. Anyway, okay. Well, we do actually have news both today and next Tuesday when JR will be solo hosting the show. So have fun with that. And we're going to be walking through the latest on the Olympics and the right wing counterattack against those who want you to acknowledge reality on what happened on January 6th. We've got more on vaccines, a walkout with the Activision Blizzard situation that's going on. That's exciting. Yeah. And then we've got other stuff as well. So there's a lot that we're gonna be talking about. Is there enough? We'll see. But as we go through it, if you would hit the like button, share the stream, that'd be great so that people know that we're live. And if you wanna send us messages, comments, tweets, all that, we will be responding as we go. Two little reminders. One, after this show, Indisputable with Dr. Rashad Ritchie and Benjamin Dixon. How great is that? So definitely look forward to that. YouTube.com/IndisputableTYT coming up right after our show. Also, we will be giving you the results later on in the program of our poll available at TYT.com/polls. Will Donald Trump be subpoenaed by the Capitol Commission? We want to know what you think. So go to TYT.com/polls, give us your thoughts, and we will let you know the results in a little bit. But with that said, it's time to launch into Big News Wednesday as we get going with nobody predicts this is going to be the first story, but I don't care. This is what we're doing these days. This is the only thing that keeps me in the news. Let's go. Following the surprise announcement that she would not be competing in the women's team final in Olympic gymnastics, Simone Biles has also now announced that she will not be competing in Thursday's individual all-around competition. And that is because of a mental health issue, according to a statement released by USA Gymnastics. They say, we wholeheartedly support Simone's decision and applaud her bravery in prioritizing her well-being. Her courage shows yet again why she is a role model for so many. And you know, I have since yesterday, I finally got to watch the replay of the team final. From her one vault, you could see that her, like, she was mentally not in it, you know, narrowly avoided potentially horribly injuring herself even in that one vault. And so she will not be competing tomorrow in the individual. Now that said, we still don't know if she'll be competing in next week's individual event finals. We will of course see what happens with that. But JR, what do you think about this development?
I mean, considering she dropped out of the team competition, it's not too much of a surprise. At least it kind of makes sense, at least for her to drop out also of the individual events. I mean, you know, it's the same reason. It's not like she had an issue with the team, you know, or like, oh, it's too much pressure if it's the team events. But then once it's individual events, then, you know, all the pressure. Again, pressure is even the wrong word here. She's dealing with whatever mental health issues that she may have to deal with, whatever kinds of focus, honestly, that she has to deal with as far as competing out there on a national stage, so or international stage here. So it's one of those things where you have to understand where the person's coming from. And just because they're an athlete, that we've been separating them from their humanity. You know, it would, even when it came to NBA players, I think Kevin Love was one of the first ones to come out and talk about his mental health issues and how he's been struggling through that. And he was embraced. They said, oh man, he's given a good platform for other players that maybe were too afraid or maybe knew that this wouldn't go well with the public sentiment on this. And then, you know, you had DeMar DeRozan come out next, and it's multiple others that have begun to talk about the issues that they deal with on a day-to-day basis that they couldn't talk about before. The fact that this is an Olympic athlete, I don't see how that makes much of a difference here, because I know that a lot of criticism has been thrown her way.
Yeah, I think, like, I think for some people, they probably think, well, this is the Olympics, so why not have your mental health crisis at a more convenient time, I guess. Of course, you know, if you follow gymnastics, they have events throughout the year. There's the world championships, there's the national championships, they have all of these things. For her, this is not, well, last time I competed was 4 years ago. I really need to make the most. Like, exactly. So I think that there's a little bit of, and by the way, I don't watch all those events. I like gymnastics, but I generally only watch the Olympics. But that said, like, we're gonna get to some of the responses, but the through line to virtually all of the responses attacking her is varying degrees of ignorance, if not, you know, misogyny and racial animus.
Yeah.
So,
and John, even but you're right. Yeah, I'm sorry. I thought you were going to get into those instances. I just want to have a point about.
Oh, I will. But you tell me.
You talked about world championships and every other championships and every kind of competition that folks have in these types of sports, like Olympics, track and field, all the things that we see. Gymnastics, track and field, the things that we see at the Olympics. That for some reason, some folks think it only happens at the Olympics, and that people just train for 4 years and they don't have any other competitions. There's nothing else happening in their lives, but. It's the first indication that you shouldn't listen to the people who have these definitive opinions about what it is that she's going through and that she's chosen this time to then bow out. There's plenty of things that she's been doing. It's the reason why she's considered the best in the world.
Yeah, exactly. And by the way, they ended up still getting silver. Jordan Chiles competed in place of Simone Biles. And did a pretty solid job considering that she didn't know until a few minutes before the first event. I believe she was on the uneven bars first, that she would be doing it. She said, if it wasn't for her, we wouldn't be here right now. We wouldn't be silver Olympic medalists, which is also entirely true. And by the way, you know, she's not going to be competing in the individual all around. So now Jade Carey will be competing. I hadn't watched Jade Carey compete before the Olympics, but she was incredibly solid. This is an opportunity for her too. Like, it again, it gets to be up to the athlete. That's what it gets to be up to. We're gonna go through all the different variations on the attacks, but we just wanted to give you the update. This is what's going on. She has made this decision, and we will find out probably in the next few days, within a week, if she'll be competing next week in the individual events. That said, any other comments before we move on to the reaction, Jer?
No, but just this could go with also the reaction is. People talked about the level of difficulty and the things that she would attempt in her performance. And there's like, it's scary, the things that she does, because no one else even attempts these things sometimes.
Yeah.
So if you don't have the focus or the ability to do it mentally, you're gonna potentially significantly hurt yourself. So this is more than just protecting her mental health. This is protecting her physical health and then the rest of her career and anything else she decides to do. So I think a lot of people can take all that into account as we go into these thoughts, these stupid things that they said.
You're 100% right. Her difficulty scores are way higher, and everyone says that they're an underestimate of what they should actually be. The judges don't know how to grade her because her stuff is too difficult. Like, did you watch the actual? Did you see her vault thing?
No, I didn't see that. No.
Yeah, so she was supposed to do 2.5 twists, and she did, I believe it was 1.5, and landed kind of badly, but she landed on her feet. Like, if I jumped and did a half twist wrong, I would face plant. She made a mistake that was so bad, the judges were worried for her as it was happening, and still landed on her feet. Like, Gotta hate people. Anyway, okay, so let's go into some of the people that I hate. Anyway, let's do this. Virtually as soon as it was announced that Simone Biles would not be competing in the final three events in the women's gymnastics team final, a bunch of men who have never once cared about women's gymnastics in their entire lives suddenly had a whole bunch of thoughts about it. And we're gonna go through some of them. The first is Charlie Kirk, who called her a selfish sociopath and ashamed of the country, said, "We are raising a generation of weak men like Simone Biles. He was barely able to keep his sad sack body elevated above the surface of the desk as he said that, but he's very worried about this world-class athlete, potentially one of the most impressive athletes in the history of humanity." He was very worried about it. The two things about that, JR, one, he didn't just call her a selfish sociopath once, he called her a sociopath multiple times. And two, the reason I'm just telling you it rather than having you watch it is because he is unwatchable. He's calling a young athlete competing in the Olympics a sociopath, and it is somehow the most boring video I've ever seen in my life. He can't even sell that he's outraged about it. He's saying it like she's a sociopath. What we have is weak people. I don't know how a single right winger watches this, but I guess they have to have someone attack a black female athlete. So this is who they have. This is who they're going to war with. So what do you think about Charlie Kirk's take?
I wonder where he even got this. You know, they come up with many names to call folks when they're just upset about something that has nothing to do with them or their lives. So sociopath is what we're now labeling Simone Biles. A sociopath is a person with a personality, I'm reading right now, with a personality disorder manifesting itself in extreme antisocial attitudes and behavior and a lack of conscience. So she's taking a break because of lack of focus, issues with mental health, maybe something else that's bothering her that is not allowing her to compete at her highest level. So therefore, she has a lack of conscience. She has extreme antisocial attitudes and behaviors. It doesn't match up.
Doing what's best for herself as well as her team and trying not to make it just about her, allowing Jordan Childs to compete for her. Sociopath. That's what I hear.
Sociopath.
Jesus. Okay, so here's a little bit of fun. Okay, so she is potentially, she hasn't gone into super in depth about this, but it's entirely possible that she's worried that because she doesn't have the 100% mental focus needed to do the unprecedentedly difficult maneuvers she's going to do, which I have to imagine in practice are not like, okay, now I'm gonna do this and then I'm gonna do this. It's an automatic thing that's trained into you. It's too difficult to think about in real time. And so if she makes a mistake, she could paralyze herself, which by the way, has happened to Olympic gymnasts in the past while doing their prep. She's worried about horrifically injuring herself. And if she did, by the way, if she broke her ankle and then had to bow out, they'd be perfectly fine with it. But if she wants to not break her ankle, they're not fine with it. Okay, so that makes her weak and a sociopath. Okay, but if you, during the worst pandemic of our lives, have like a little bit of cloth and you think, no, I have every right to breathe lethal germs on you. I can't do it. There's too much carbon dioxide and my face gets warm. So I should be able to kill you and your family. That's neither weak nor sociopathic behavior, according to Charlie Kirk and the rest of the right wing. In fact, that's damn near patriotic.
It's a damn shame, isn't it? Like the weakness that people, the first person decides to talk about weakness and how someone is a detriment to society are the people who are detriments to society and are very weak. They can't take any criticism. They can't have a full on argument. They can't actually espouse their full principles and points about things because they're too busy following someone else. Not sure where they're finding the strength from when they follow behind Donald Trump, who's the biggest loser in the country right now.
Yeah, Jesus, it's just so, God, like it's one thing. They see Simone Biles, JR, and they are just waiting. Oh God, please give us like I understand everybody likes her, so we can't like attack her right now. But like, if there's any controversy, like vultures, like rats, they just want to attack. Yeah, so that was disgusting. So if there was one person, like JR, if I told you Simone Biles is dropping out, who is definitely gonna have a garbage take on this. Who would you say?
The thing is, I knew obviously because we're about to do this, but even before he said it, I was waiting for Piers Morgan to say something. And we know it's because he has his fights with any other black woman that he can, because he hates black women. Let's keep it real.
Yep, he hates black women, and more importantly, he knows that the people who like him hate black women, and they need him to attack her. So, of course, the man who is Olympic caliber in garbage takery tweeted, "New Simone Biles calls herself the greatest of all time, but no goat would quit on her teammates like that, costing them an Olympic gold medal. Get back out there, Simone. You're a great champion, not a quitter." Trying to make it seem as if he's supporting her.
Yeah.
Goes on to say, "Are mental health issues now the go-to excuse for any poor performance in elite sport? What a joke. Just admit you did badly, made mistakes, and will strive to do better next time. Kids need strong role models, not this nonsense."
Yeah.
By the way, like with Charlie Kirk, I don't know if literally he could twist his body over the vault apparatus. Here's Morgan, the only athletic event I've seen him compete in, if we could bring up a picture, was the 5-meter sprint off the set because somebody said something he didn't like. So he quit live because he couldn't take it mentally. So you'd think there'd be a little bit of sympathy. Oh, I'm sorry, that was all the way back in March. I guess we've all forgotten how he fled from the set.
Because he couldn't take it anymore. He couldn't take it anymore. Again, they can't argue their principles, their beliefs, or any of that stuff against someone else who's pushing back because they don't have, I guess they have some mental health issues, which by the way, this a-hole put in quotation marks, as if mental health issues is a fake thing, as if they don't exist. So not only is he attacking Simone Biles here, he's attacking all the millions of people that have these issues, that actually have these, that seek treatment, that seek counseling, that actually have to go into different kinds of way to make sure that they are managing it correctly. There's depression hotlines and there's suicide hotlines for people that have issues to that degree of mental health. But you can throw it in some quotation marks and you think that's a winning argument. It's an obvious ploy to make sure you're reaching out to the lowest person that's listening and watching you. Because there's no way that you're looking for to appeal to anyone that has a positive outlook on life. It has to be angry. A detriment to society that have to like these types of things that you have to say. Why is it in quotation marks? Is anyone gonna ask him that?
Because they're made up, they're fake. Like he can't see it, so I guess it's not real. It's so they don't want people to be strong. They want them to be broken down. They want them to be ground down by their employers. They don't want them to challenge anything. Like she is supposed to be a role model. And regardless of whatever Piers Morgan says or wants, she could never move her body again and still be one of the biggest female sports role models in general in history. And now she's also another sort of role model and he hates that. They don't want people like Simone Biles or people who look like Simone Biles to be those society looks up to. They just don't want it. Now that said, perhaps the worst take we should move on to. Most of those attacking Simone Biles kept their insults very personal, they're just attacking, like insulting her or whatever. Some tried to be clever, and it's always dangerous as a right winger to try to be clever, to try to be funny, because you virtually will always fly too close to the sun on wings of pastrami. So Matt Walsh says, "Michael Jordan leaves game 7 of the NBA finals to focus on mental health." And I'm sure he thought that's, I like that. That was a good one. That was clever. I made it about a different sport. She's weak, Michael Jordan, he's strong. Ooh, and I'm pretending that I like this other black athlete, so you can't say that I'm being racist or whatever. Nailed it, Matty boy, except you didn't in any way. And there, like, I'm not gonna go through all the responses, but there's like 1,000 issues with that analogy very specifically. First of all, JR, I know you're not very familiar with Michael Jordan, so I'm gonna give you some facts about Michael Jordan.
Thank you.
He's like the athlete who quit at the peak of his career. Like if you were to think of an athlete who was on top and left for a while, you hit the only other one, you dingus. Like he's the guy who did it. And he did it at least in part because of mental health trauma related to the death of his father, correct JR? That was a big part of it.
That's very correct. His father always wanted him to play baseball. He loved baseball. It was his first love. He and his dad's first love. And when he quit, after his father was murdered, viciously murdered in his car on the side of the road.
Yeah.
He decided to take a break and go play baseball to honor his father and do what his father always wanted him to do, because he's dealing with the death of his father.
So
does that sound familiar? Does that sound familiar as to another Olympic athlete that we're lambasting and raking over the coals over the death of a parent and how they cope with it?
They were raising a weak generation of Chicago Bulls, I guess, at that point. Sociopathic behavior. To make it about himself, no, your body, your performance, that is for us. You don't get to decide what sport you play or when you play it. So anyway, and as other people are pointing out, dude didn't play in game sevens, by the way. That I thought I found one, but I don't know for sure. Generally, it's also a bad analogy specifically from that. Also, as Parker Malloy points out, Scottie Pippen once refused to take the court during the playoffs because he didn't like a play call. I also thought, what about like Dave Chappelle? He was at the top of all of comedy and stepped out to deal with all of the mental health issues that were being caused by the insane elevation, the fact that he felt he was being exploited. There were a lot of problems there. And you know what? He gets to do that.
Since we're still on the Bulls,
of course, he was criticized too.
Yeah, since we're talking about the Bulls, Scottie Pippen, Michael Jordan, there's this other guy, his name is Dennis Rodman. He was part of that big championship run in the second end of it. And he would go out and party in Vegas. Now, maybe people didn't see that as a mental health thing, but it was definitely with self-medication for whatever issues he dealt with. And if you talk about Dennis Rodman, his upbringing and who he was and who he is, I'm sorry, he had a lot of things to deal with mentally and psychologically throughout his entire career. So when he went off, and by the way, Phil Jackson, who everyone praises is one of the best NBA coaches of all time, they had this conversation with Dennis Rodman. He knew he was going off to Vegas in between games, very important games, to go party. Was it just because he had to party and get some alcohol in him? Maybe, or maybe he was self-medicating because there's other issues that he's dealing with on top of the pressure of being a professional athlete. But in 1997, 1998, you can't say those things. Yeah. And now that we are saying these things, those folks are mad that these athletes have this different platform and get to be human publicly.
Yeah. Ah, jeez. Okay. We had a graphic from Dinesh D'Souza, but nobody, even Dinesh D'Souza, cares about that. So anyway, so I want to give you a little bit. So there's an athlete on Twitter who is sharing a message that was sent to him by a gymnast who said, and I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it makes me so frustrated to see comments about Simone not being mentally tough enough or quitting on her team. We are talking about the same girl who was molested by her team doctor throughout her entire childhood and teen years, won the world all around championship title while passing a kidney stone, put her body through an extra year of training through the pandemic, added so much difficulty to her routines that the judges literally do not know how to properly rate her skills because they're so ahead of her time, all of this while maintaining her responsibilities to her endorsement deals, the media, personal relationships, etc. And still some people can say she's so soft, she's a quitter. That girl has endured more trauma by the age of 24 than most people will ever go through in a lifetime. And that certainly includes guys whose only qualification is their job, is that they were born to rich parents and a billionaire decided to create a media company for them. And that's the platform that they use to attack her. And then there's much more besides. I want to end though on a positive note. This is a photo that producer Sophie put in. While they're criticizing her, she's got adorable dogs. And she's got moves named after her, and she's got so many golds and so many championships and all that. She doesn't need your approval. I doubt she wants your approval. Yes, suck. You're Olympic level in one thing, your white mediocrity.
My last thought on it is this too. You mentioned how the things with the Olympic doctors and what they did to many of these gymnasts. Athlete A is this documentary on Netflix. You have to watch it. We all knew what happened with Nasser and all those, but the degree to which it was completely organized around the entire US Olympic gymnastics team, around how they protected the worst people, and because they were the super worst people. So they protected this entire bubble of exploitation of these athletes. You should find out the things that these athletes have been through since childhood. She's 24 years old and she's already a well-accomplished athlete, international star. And we have to think about the things they also went through and how they're still dealing with it. So before you go to criticizing people, think about what they've already been through and the pressure they've got on them now. And also think about social media. Guarantee you, we talk about Kevin Durant and the NBA and all these guys who have burner accounts and respond to people who are hating on them. Michael Jordan's and the Scottie Pippen's and whoever else you want to talk about from the 90s and the 80s of pro sports, they did not deal with social media and the knee-jerk hatred that comes with everything they say. I guarantee you, so many people would hate Michael Jordan right now if they actually had a chance to interact with him via social media in 1990, the way that they can interact with LeBron James now in 2021. Because even when that documentary came out about Michael Jordan and the Bulls runs, he and some people around him were worried that more people would start hating him because they'll find out more about who he really was and his personality.
Yeah.
It's a different world. It's a different world. So you gotta move along with it. If you don't like it, just kick back and talk to the old fogies about things the way you used to be and stop dealing with the new folks, because that's who's running the joint now.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm glad that you mentioned the trauma that she's been through. Like I have to assume that these guys, like the base assumption about everything they say is, well, generally they hate women and black people, but also they're incredibly ignorant about what they're talking about. So it's entirely possible that they don't know about the fact that she was traumatized. They don't know about any of it, how pervasive it was, how protected Nassar was. I will assume they don't know any of that. One would hope you would know something before you call an athlete, a 24-year-old athlete, a sociopath. But that's a bar that's a little bit too high for most.
In an Olympics that's ridden with COVID and has issues with crowd sizes and people showing up and infected athletes, there's so many extra levels to the things that can be on someone's mind and what they're trying to protect themselves from. Just to, by the way, what we're upset about is we don't get to be entertained, because now we want the athletes in the middle of the arena and we want the tiger to come running at them and see if they can kill them. This is where we are now, because they've chosen not to. Now we're gonna call them weak and a sociopath and get out of here, un-American, not patriotic. Who are they doing this for? Is this for you? Is this for you? Is this for your glory? Get out of here, man.
We're gonna get out of here for just a little bit as we go to our first break. When we come back, we're gonna look at a little bit of the fallout from the first day of the January 6th commission. Got any guesses about whether it's constructive or not? Well, anyway, we're gonna have that for you after this. Gonna try to do other news. It's bad news on this side of the break too, JR. We're screwed. Anyway, okay, let's jump into it.
Yeah.
Okay, so we knew that the first night of right-wing media response to the amazing testimony of a number of different members of the Capitol Police about what they experienced on January 6th was going to be unproductive. Well, indeed it was. So first of all, Tucker Carlson, who has spent the days from January 7th until yesterday denying that you should care about the Capitol attack, pretending that there was no racism there, attacking Harry Dunn in anticipation of his testimony, spent last night attacking Michael Fanone. Here's what he had to say.
Watch Fanone cite the psychological trauma he endured as an excuse for ditching our Bill of Rights.
I've been left with the psychological trauma and the emotional anxiety of having survived such a horrific event.
Now, not to in any way underplay the crimes that were committed on January 6th, and there were crimes committed on January 6th, but compared to what? What's interesting is that Michael Fanone didn't mention experience any trauma during the time he spent last year.
Okay, so not to minimize it, but let's do that. Not to minimize it, I just laughed like a weirdo. Not to minimize it, but something BLM. So that's what he had. You just were told the guy has a traumatic brain injury. He had a heart attack and a concussion and PTSD. Not as bad as his hyena laugh that he's developed over the past year, JR, but it's still purposefully, first of all, planned. It was in the teleprompter that he was gonna laugh there. It was as condescending as his fans tuned in to see.
You have to make sure that you continue the drumbeat against certain people just for who they are, not because of what they experience or what the truth about the matter is. It's all based on make sure you have enough boogeymen. So the Dr. Fauci's of the world, you know, Hillary Clinton's one of the old school ones, Pelosi's an old school one. So no matter what is said or done, which by the way, the Hillary Clintons of the world and the Nancy Pelosi's, they have their issues that of course many progressives are concerned with, but they're based in what they've done and their policy stances and their what they do legislatively, not just based in the fact that they exist. Also Nancy Pelosi. So in this case, it has to be, you know, so now it's Officer Fanone. Oh, I can't believe he's talking about the issues he's dealt with since then.
Yeah.
Why can't you? Why is that a bad thing? You know, we did hear about from Tucker Carlson. We heard that Tucker Carlson had people show up to his house, and he was petrified. His wife was inside with his kids, and she didn't know what to do, which way to go. Could you believe that people exposed me like that, which they didn't, and sent people to my house to try and intimidate and scare us? So yeah. Should we say, I don't give a damn, Tucker, about you or your family or what happens to them? Because boo hoo, you had some
JR.
Health issues. Oh my God, you were afraid. Think about how upsetting that would be for you.
100%. I mean, that, like, you don't even have to go back that far. His fans were aggrieved that a guy went up to him in a fish store and said, you're horrible. How could you do that? Back off of him. He's in public. There's not him over there. Why would you say a thing? Okay, so that's bad. But if you just had something, you know, relatively minor, like being dragged down the Capitol steps, suffering a mild heart attack and a concussion as you were shocked with a stun gun and beaten, you know, being electrocuted multiple times, that's nothing. Having a guy come up to you while you're in the bait aisle, that could leave a real mark on one anyway. So yeah, absolute, it's just condescending nonsense. It's designed to be condescending nonsense.
Absolutely.
There was no chance that they were gonna back the blue or whatever nonsense they say. And I don't say that to try to convince our fans. They know that the supposed support for the cops is, it's illusory. It's convenient when it's convenient. But if you happen to be a cop or know a cop, you should know that so long as their politics line up with the right wing, sure, they'll support you or whatever. But the second you disagree, they don't care if you're murdered brutally. On camera, they don't care. And not just the media, the Fraternal Order of Police, you know, which supports every cop when they kill an unarmed person, they're not supporting these cops in any way. They have no interest whatsoever, by the way. It is purely political. So that was Tucker Carlson. Laura Ingraham did her best political performance awards, literally hanging out awards for best crying, best whatever. Like, this is four different cops who are all talking about how they nearly died, and she is mocking them. Imagine, I'll do the stereotypical thing. Imagine if Ilhan Omar did this about other cops. Like,
oh my God. Oh, okay. So you got Fox News on this. Imagine BET News, right? It's at least something everyone would connect with black folks and a black audience watching it. Decided after there's protests last summer to then talk about, have opinion people come on and talk about how cops are boo-hooing and I can't believe they worry so much. When in reality, the story was about how they need to stop murdering people in the streets for absolutely no reason. There's pushback for that. There's pushback for wanting cops to stop murdering people in the streets. But if there's an anchor that comes on and says, look at these cops crying over getting shot. No, literally, once they are purposefully attacked, we're talking about when there's protests in the streets and then cops come and converge and then there's a conflict. That's completely different. BLM didn't run up on every cop they can find in the country and go to attacking them. That didn't happen. But here it did. All these MAGAs went to the Capitol, found Capitol police officers that were in their way and said, are you with us or against us? If you're against us, you're gonna die on your knees.
They said literally, 100%. And he doesn't care because there are no values, there are no principles. It is all case by case. Does this help me politically, or does this help me, you know, in terms of my career, getting more people to watch me, getting me more money? I don't care about anything else. I don't have an ideology. I don't have a value system. I just want money. That's Tucker Carlson. That's Laura Ingraham. She's not as good at it, which is why people don't watch her. But that is what they're thinking now. One of the most amazing pieces of testimony yesterday was Harry Dunn talking about the racial angle to the protests, the racial slurs that were slung at him and other Capitol Police. That should be an eye opener. For some, it's not. Shockingly, people like Newsmax's Greg Kelly, they're not quite convinced by it.
Where's the audio? Sorry, but there were 900 body cams, there were the surveillance all over the place. Where's the audio? I've heard all kinds of audio, but I haven't heard that. I haven't heard that. And I doubt that. I do.
Yeah, he's just, look, JR, I know maybe you're gonna criticize him. He's just an impartial arbiter. I have taken in the data and I doubt it. There's no preconceived notions about anything here. Yeah, we're all shocked, Greg Kelly, that you don't believe the black cop talking about his experience of being called the N-word. That's breaking news. That should be the Chyron. Why isn't that the Chyron, Sophie?
that's now, not now, it's always been the standard, because I mean, back when recordings of things happening to black folks kind of began, at least the biggest account of it was Rodney King in like 91, when finally someone recorded a black person being assaulted by multiple police officers just wailing at him. So ever since then, there was a 10% awakening that, you mean all these black people aren't lying? That was like 10% of it. And then slowly, as we've had more and more technology where everyone has a small computer in their hands, filming everything that they see, now the new standard is, unless you filmed it, it didn't happen. Which the basis for that is these black people are liars, every single one of them. If a black person says something happened, we're starting with their lying. Unless they prove it, unless they produced evidence of what they said happened, it absolutely didn't happen. Well, I don't buy it.
I think you're being too easy on them. They don't believe they were attacked. On video. They don't care about that at all.
Yep, there's plenty of audio, by the way. Greg Kelly, where's the audio? Where's the video? There's hundreds of hours of evidence. We looked at it and you're still denying that the rest of it happened.
So yeah, what do we first of all, so JR, let me ask you a question. So if the audio comes out of them yelling the N-word at him, well, he'll change his mind, right?
Yeah, it was Antifa. It was him and his other officers saying that to make sure that they got a tape of someone saying it, and they're trying to frame these good insurrectionists that stormed the Capitol violently and attacked people. Yeah. It doesn't have to make sense. As long as you're on the racist side, that's all that matters. There's no truthfulness. There's no execution to this principle. The principle is racism, and racism is based in hatred and ignorance. That's all that. Those are the only two boxes you have to check. What's left? You don't have just hate. Just hate, and you're on that side.
Just hate. Ugh, God.
I'm so tired.
Okay. By the way, I'm just gonna quick throw this aside. We weren't gonna do like a full clip on this or whatever. But so you know that there have been all those stories that have been coming out over the past month. I mean, there were some last year too. But X person had a ton of social media posts of like, it's just the flu, doesn't matter. It's Bill Gates' conspiracy theory, and then they die. Or they go through a horrible experience from COVID or whatever. He did a whole segment and none of it was, it breaks my heart that these people were so misinformed and then died. It was, why are people discussing these stories? That's shaming people. Like he finally acknowledged that people are dying thanks to misinformation, but he doesn't want them to stop. He wants you to stop trying to correct the misinformation that's killing them. It's mind blowing. But I mean, I guess I've never been offered millions of dollars in exchange for those of you watching the show to die. I would like to assume that I wouldn't accept that deal, but some people really like millions of dollars, I guess. Anyway, sorry, final thoughts?
If we're gonna compare things to like, you know, the protests and the clashes last year during the summer over police brutality, and even before that, when they were mad about Colin Kaepernick and the chance of pigs in a blanket fry them like bacon. They said that about a million times on Fox because protesters were chanting that at one of these. They're upset about that chant, but they're not upset about what's, by the way, maybe they caught it on camera. Sure, they said it. So what about the things we caught on camera of them specifically saying, you're gonna die. I'm gonna take your gun and kill you. Nancy, hang Mike Pence. We heard all of that. Yep. Why aren't those chants threatening? Maybe because of who they came from?
Maybe because nothing matters. Nothing at all. Anyway, okay, we're gonna take a break. We come back. Officer Fanone had a devastating, disgusting voicemail that we're gonna play for you. But first, this break. Okay.
I was literally doing the same thing, John.
You're sighing like that? You need to take a breath before you dive back into the news. Anyway, okay, let's do this. Officer Michael Fanone had a lot to say yesterday at the Capitol Commission about his experience on January 6th, and some watching it had a lot to say to him, as if believing that they needed to prove his point. Here is a voicemail that was sent to Officer Fanone that he played last night on Don Lemon's show.
Yeah, this is from Michael Fanone. Metropolitan Police Officer. You're on trial right now. Lying and you want an Emmy, an Oscar? What are you trying to go for here? You're so full of you little You're a little man. I could slap you up the side of your head with a backhand and knock you out, you little You're a punk You're a lying How about all that scummy black scum for 2 years, destroying our cities and burning them and stealing all that out of the stores and everything? How about that and assaulting cops and killing people? How about that, you That was on the goddamn Capitol. I wish they would have killed all you scumbags, because you people are scum. They stole the election from Trump, and you know that, you scumbag. And you, too bad they didn't beat the out of you more. You're a piece of You're a little you scumbag.
Okay, so we're gonna have his reaction to that in just a little bit, JR. What did you make of that?
Okay, there's so many contradictions and senseless things in that expletive written messages, which, by the way, for the first 10 seconds, I was like, this guy's a comedian. This is a made on.
Sounded like right? a voice. Yeah, it did.
But as he flowed, you understand that this is a thought process of these types of folks. They're, anyway. I'm not gonna go to name calling. The first thing he goes into is the Emmy. If you get an Emmy or an Oscar, because he's acting. Where might he have gotten the idea that this particular officer was acting when he was given his testimony? Maybe it was Laura Ingraham when she said she wants to give out the best performance awards for these officers. So it's a direct but line of thought process that these followers, these minions have for these idiot actors that are on television inciting more people to violence. Look how angry that guy was. And his only talking point was, oh, you're an actor. Then went into the F words and the, and I don't know if he threw an N word in there, but he definitely talked about black folks and the riots last year and everything. Now, again, the next contradiction is, so he had issues with black folks that were attacking our cities and burning and stealing things out of the store and attacking our police officers. He did point that out. They're attacking our police officers. And in the next breath said, I wish they would have attacked you more on the Capitol and killed you and whooped your ass, whatever else he wanted to say that they did. So is he lying? Because you admitted at the end that he was beaten and he wished he was beaten more. Do you support the cops? Because you said that you're mad at these black animals that hurt cops last summer, but you want this cop hurt more. Which side of this argument are you on?
Well, no, but the thing is, like, you're totally right. But I think the core hypocrisy or disconnect is, I'm watching you and you're lying. What is he was talking about? He's talking about the violence that the MAGA crowd was sending at them. And they were talking about racism and stuff like that. So to prove that he's lying, he threatens him with murder and says a bunch of racist stuff. Like, yeah. But you're just demonstrating. I don't know if you were there, but you sure seem like one of those people. And again, all of this, because the guy is just talking about what happened to him, which again, we don't need to speculate about. It's on video. You can see it happening. He didn't, because he only watches Fox News, I'm sure. So he's never seen any of that footage. But here is a little bit of Michael Fanone talking about getting that voicemail.
It was important for you. You did not want us to censor that. What do you say to that? What do you want people to know? And that idiot.
I mean, I remember like my first reaction immediately after listening to that phone call, which I actually received while I was testifying in the hearing today. This is what happens to people that tell the truth in Trump's America.
That simple. It doesn't bother you. It doesn't hurt you.
I mean, unfortunately, I've come to expect this type of response. It's not the first time that people have expressed similar opinions to me. Unfortunately, you know, this is, you know, there is an element in this country that believes that.
Yep, and they have a massive media outlet and a bunch of grifting politicians that are trying to get them to feel it stronger than they already do. They love that stuff. Final thought?
Well, I take it back. There was one thing I did say that I didn't know. He did get the voicemail during his testimony, so it wasn't fueled off of Laura Ingraham's calling him an actor. They all just go to that thought process automatically. Well, yeah,
not, not that specific one, but they call all these
everything crisis else. Actors. Oh yeah, everything
it
else.
Used to be just Alex Jones, but no, now it's every single one of these people is faking it, even if you can watch the footage yourself.
Yeah,
yeah, it's disgusting. Close. Okay, let's move on to our final story of this first hour. Jim Jordan was on Fox News last night, and he might have accidentally opened himself up to a little bit of legal drama, maybe a subpoena coming from the Capitol Commission that he hoped to be on. He might be at some of these meetings, but on the wrong side of the desk, thanks to this video.
This committee is obviously going to go down a number of different roads about who knew what when, who was talking to coordinators of the protests. Did you talk to the former president that day?
I've talked to the former president umpteen times, thousands. I mean, I may not thousands,
I mean, on
times,
January
but countless, 6th. Countless times. I talked to the president. I never talk about what we talk about because I just don't think that's appropriate. Just like I don't talk about what happens in Republican conferences. So sure. I've talked to the president numerous times. I continue to talk to the president.
No,
since
I mean
left
on
office.
January 6th, Congressman.
Yes, I mean I've talked to the president. I've talked to the president so many, I can't remember all the days I've talked to him, but I've certainly talked to the president.
Yeah, and on that day was, can you share any of the insight of what he was thinking about that day?
Brett, the people we need to come testify are the people who can testify to the fundamental questions. Why didn't the United States Capitol, the People's House, have an appropriate security posture on that day? And what have we done? Those are the people we need to hear from. Yeah. That's the information and testimony we need to get.
Okay, so blah, 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 not what he was asked about. But anyway, that actually was exposing something because about 2 months ago, there was a discussion about the January 6th attack. And in it, he said, I didn't do anything wrong. I talked to the president. I talked to the president all the time. He was asked to clarify whether he'd spoken to the president on January 6th and he wouldn't say. Well, look, it took multiple follow-up questions. And we actually had a host on one of these shows doing follow-up questions. And he did say, he spoke to him on that day. He refused to say what about the sort of thing that a commission investigating this might want to know more about, JR. What do you think?
Yeah, it's like he figured it out after he was going through his brag session. Oh, I talk to the president all the time, thousands of times, hundreds. I talk to him every day. You know, I don't know if I talk to him on January 6th, probably January 6th because So he got a little bit of ahead of himself because the whole point, his whole existence, is based in self-promotion via Donald Trump.
Yeah.
So I talked to him, I talked to him, I talked to him, I talked to him. So what'd you say? Well, what we're trying to talk about here, Greg, Brett, is about Nancy Pelosi and this commission. Oh, well, I thought you were talking about how much you talked to the president. How come we just jumped off the subject so fast there, Jim? This is a guy who wants to be on the panel. And this is, honestly, he's proving more and more every day the reasons why Nancy Pelosi made the decision to kick his ass off.
Yeah, exactly. And look, you know, we did a poll. Why don't we give the results? Because it ties into this. We were questioning, based on what Liz Cheney was saying yesterday, whether Trump would be subpoenaed. And of course, he needs to be. What was he doing and not doing? What was he saying? Who is he talking to? This is all incredibly important. Well, we asked you, and 33% of you thought that he would, 66% not. Fairly definitive thinking he will not be subpoenaed. Perhaps we should have been asked about Jim Jordan because he's definitely opened himself up to. But that said, I do not think, he's gonna end up in prison and everything's gonna be great. Whoa, I'm gonna take. No, like nothing good is gonna happen because we still live in the same world we were in yesterday. But maybe we can find out a bit more. And not just him. You know, Kevin McCarthy said that he spoke to Trump on that day. These are crucial bits of information that we need to have access to. But we'll see if the commission is serious. And I'm not necessarily convinced. Well, just because they have it and just because the Dems got it, I'm assuming it's gonna be awesome. No, not at all. We might not get any of this information, but they should get it.
Yeah, we need some confirmation of what you guys talked about on these phone calls. Every phone call that everybody's guys had with them that day.
Exactly. Well, we'll have to wait and see. You know, this could go for weeks, it could go for months. We'll be watching to find out. But so far, the reaction from the right has not been great. Now, that said, thank you to all of you watching on our linear platform. That's gonna be it for our first hour. But if you're watching on Twitch or on YouTube, we've got a lot more news coming up for you. We're gonna take just a short break, but stick around because we have more on vaccines, on masks, on a whole bunch of stuff after this.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.